Elm Coffee Roasters, open in Pioneer Square and SLU for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. You're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and that's walking distance to campus? Check out the M Seattle. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they recently dropped their prices on all their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more info. And welcome back to another episode of Quarantine. I'm your host, Beth, here for more on the experience of quarantine. And we are only about 3 weeks out from the end of the quarter, 3 weeks out from graduation, so I'm actually beginning to wrap up this show, Quarantine. It has been my absolute honor to be your host and have all these wonderful conversations with so many wonderful people. I've learned and grown so much during this project. But don't worry, we still have a few more episodes in store. So today I'm happy to introduce Shay Dolly. Shay and I went to high school together in Cary, Illinois. For those of you who don't know, I was from Illinois before coming to Washington. Shay and I go way back. We actually met the first day of high school. We were in art class together and went on to be really good friends throughout college, keeping up over a phone. Shay is newly graduated from Bradley University, and she is going on to become a nurse. So she just got her Bachelor of Science in nursing. And today we are talking about emotional support pets. Shay has a very sweet Labradoodle who is only about 2 years old now, and she's talking about her experience being a Labradoodle owner as well as her companionship with her emotional support pet, Charlie. So without further ado, here's the show. Well, welcome to the pod space, Shay Dolly. This is so full circle because we went to the same high school and you graduated college last week. Congratulations. You are now an RN. Is that correct?
No, not yet.
Ah, fuck. When do you become an RN?
When I take the NCLEX, which I haven't scheduled yet because I have to get this like fancy thing. And I don't even know what it stands for.
Okay, so you have your bachelor's.
Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, a woman in STEM, you might say.
Which is huge and incredible. And I'm absolutely so proud of you.
Wow, thank you.
Of course. Okay, so we're going to get right into it and talk about every single mental illness that we are diagnosed with. I'm kidding. but we are going to talk about coping mechanisms for self-isolation and quarantine because the pandemic has brought a lot of that and how we have coped with them using animals. First question is going to be, how long have you had an emotional support pet? And you can introduce him. I don't know if he's there.
No, he's not. He's asleep.
Okay.
He takes like 6 hour naps a day. Don't know why, but I don't question it.
Yeah.
So I have a dog. His name is Charlie. He became a pandemic puppy, but he was not initially. He is like a year and 4 months, I think, if I'm doing the math correctly. I got him on, I think, the 6th of March. So like literally right before the pandemic.
I see what you're saying. So like he was a pandemic puppy, but he wasn't meant to be.
Right. Like we got him mid-March, and then he was initially my parents, and then my parents like realized that they didn't really want a dog, but I really did. So they just kind of like handed him off to me. And I wasn't initially going to bring him to school with me, but then he got trained. He went to like a puppy boarding school because he was very naughty, and we tried really hard to train him, but we sadly are not dog trainers.
Yeah.
And then he was great, and I decided that I was going to bring him to school with me.
Cool. So when you say like he was naughty, what was he doing?
pretty much everything a puppy does, biting me constantly. I have scars, but that's okay. Climbing on counters, barking literally 24/7. Well, he would never settle down, like, during the day. You know how, like, some dogs can just, like, go lay down?
Yeah, but puppies are always so up in the air.
Yeah.
Because they're literally, like, a baby.
Scheduled naps, like, a literal baby. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go put him down for a nap.
I'm dead.
I'm a mother.
Yeah, you are a mother. Okay, so, with that, were you planning on having him? Oh, so you said you weren't planning on having him at school, but he kind of like ended up coming along with you. And was that like a blessing in disguise?
For sure. I mean, I like would have loved from the get-go, I would have loved to bring him with me because so the true story is we got two dogs. One of them was like really violent towards the other dog. The true story comes out. We got two dogs. The one that was mine was like very violent and aggressive towards not only Charlie, but to also us. Like my mom had like a black eye. I got a busted lip and it was just more than my family could handle. Like my dad was having like, he had like six back surgeries last year.
Yeah.
And I...
Not so much emotional support at that point.
Right. And I thought I was going to have a job, but then the pandemic hit, so I couldn't get a job in a hospital like I wanted. So like Charlie ended up kind of, we had to give back Winnie. Winnie now lives in Connecticut with a family, very happy. This isn't like, oh, like he's in the farm
he's
now.
He's in the pound.
Right. He's truly in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then Charlie kind of just like became mine. So from the beginning, I would have loved for him to come with me, but I just did not think that that was going to be possible. Because my initial like life plan was to graduate college in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that obviously like did not end up happening. Shit happens, obviously. So the plan was like, I'm going to have him, I'm going to go get a job and I'm going to live there. So then my parents were like stuck with this dog that they were going to have to take care of while I was at school. So then it kind of like the opportunity arose for him to become like to come with me. And I just kind of like, as soon as I really thought about it, I like got in contact with my school and I talked to my psychiatrist to like ask if she could fill out some paperwork. And I had to talk to my vet and everything to get all these forms, but it was honestly relatively easy. There's like all these fake websites outside or like online.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, they make you think that you have to pay like $100 or something, but you just have to get
a doctor. Yeah, your doctor can just write it.
Yeah.
When you say forms, what do those forms look like?
So I had to fill out, like my psychiatrist had to fill out, actually I think my therapist was the one who did it because I talked to her more often. Mm-hmm. She just like filled out like my diagnosis, why it would be helpful, stuff like that. And then like I had to get like all of his vaccination records. And then so I go to school in Illinois and your animal, at least in the county that I was in, they have to be registered in the county. So I had to then like call the Peoria like animal shelter or whatever and get him registered. So it really wasn't that much. Like it took me 2 days, I think, to get everything.
Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At their roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee, an experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and SLU open now for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next order. Okay, so when you say your psychiatrist or your therapist, I can't remember which one you said it was going to be helpful. What are some of the things that emotional support pets are helpful for?
Well, for me personally, I was going to live by myself, which as a human with depression, like that's not always the easiest thing.
Right.
And I am known to self-isolate and just like not take care of myself, not even when I'm just like low, but I genuinely forget.
yeah,
to do human things. Like if right. Like I just don't feel hungry for some reason the vast majority of the time. So like I just don't eat. But I thought that kind of like having Charlie would not only like make me get out of my apartment because I'd have to take him outside and go on walks. But then like I'm thinking, well, okay, I have to feed him. So that's obviously like a mealtime. Like I need to eat. Or not only like I would walk him around on campus, but I would go to like this place that has like all these really bougie houses that it's like a 2-mile walk. So that was getting me not only outside, but also off campus. Mm-hmm. And also like one thing that was like honestly a pro in my pro column was like popularity, like into a new class that I knew like no one because all of my friends had graduated. So I knew that like people who I was like kind of friends with, but not really close with, I knew it would kind of be like an intro
into like a friendship or just an easier introduction.
Yeah. And he was only like 7 months at the time when I brought him. So he was still like a baby.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So it sounds like he really helps you with like keeping yourself accountable and just overall bringing like goodness into your life. I feel like with my pets, like my cat and my chinchilla, seeing them eat or like get excited when I get home, it's genuinely like a boost of serotonin.
Yeah. There are times where it's like it becomes really hard to have him. Like I never regret having him, but there are times where my friends will be like, oh, like let's go do this for dinner. And I'm like, okay, well that means that I need to make sure that I wake up Charlie at this time so that he can nap at this specific time so he's not awake and I can leave. Mm-hmm. Like there's definitely some logistical planning that I wasn't expecting, but there's no part of me that wishes that I did anything differently.
Yeah. And I feel like in a way it's almost keeping you more mindful and conscious. Like my depression will definitely make me feel very distant from my body and my surroundings, which will also make me isolate. And I feel like having to be accountable and responsible for another living thing forces you in a good way to be more aware and like mindful in the moment and like plan ahead.
I would agree.
Because you have to be responsible for somebody else
like you have this I don't have a child, but like it's like you've got this new little life that's depending on you
and
you
it essentially is a child. It's just not forming like opinions.
If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of them.
For sure.
By no means am I saying that like I was the epitome of health this past year, but I mean, my mom has said many times that like we don't think that I could have like made it through without him.
Mm-hmm.
College is really hard. Then to add on the pandemic and then mental health problems, it's just like a never-ending cycle of difficulty.
Yeah, and especially when you're having to stay inside. So what does it look like being a nurse? Like, because most students who don't have to go to clinicals, they just stay inside, but you have to balance like going somewhere and doing school from home. What did your schedule look like?
So starting junior year, you only have classes on Tuesday and Thursday, and then you have clinicals starting junior year twice a week. Junior year, they're 8 hours, and then senior, they're 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have class on Tuesday and Thursday because there's clinical opportunities on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I had my clinicals every other Monday and on Saturdays. So I obviously had to find someone to watch him, which I was lucky because I had friends who always volunteered to do it. Yeah, I only took one class first semester because I was just taking a class that I needed to retake.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly spent a lot more time inside and alone than I did the second semester where I had like 3 classes on campus.
Okay.
So
you did get to spend a lot of time at home with your dog.
Yeah, okay. And if I didn't have him, I think I would have just, I mean, I definitely watched more movies than the average human, but I think that's all I would have done otherwise.
Yeah, just stayed in and watched movies. Like, does he help you? Do you feel like be more productive?
Kind of, in the way that like I have like a pretty rigid schedule for him.
Right.
Like we wake up by 9, very blessed that I have a dog who sleeps in and who, if I let him sleep any longer, he pukes in his crate, which is just like a really fun, cute thing that
little surprise.
Right. And then he normally takes a nap. I can normally around 12:30 or 1, depending on like how active he was in the day. And then I would normally go to a coffee shop for like the next like 4 hours. And I would get kind of everything that I needed to get done in that.
Okay.
Time. because I had like that specific scheduled
spot
time off for him, I guess. Okay.
And he would be napping at that in that time?
Yeah, he just naps in his crate.
That's so cute.
Yeah, he's like, whenever I would have to ask people to watch him, and there were very few times that I like needed to find someone other than my usual people, I was like he is kind of like the easiest dog ever, other than the fact that he tries to eat toilet paper off the roll.
Okay. Well, IBS problem.
Right. You're trying to tell me something.
Self-induced IBS. I love that. Okay. This question's a big one. Talk about a time your emotional support pet saved your life. With the assumption that he has.
Yeah. I luckily have never really been like suicidal to the point of like, I worked on a psych ward, and I know how painful it is to try and kill yourself and how often it's unsuccessful. And I would love to say, like, I always think, like, oh, well, I've got, like, so many people to, like, love, and, like, they're going to miss me so much. When I'm in, like, my truly, like, deep moments, that's not really something that I'm, like, thinking about.
Right.
But I can't really think of a time where I've ever, like, actually been, like,
here's my plan. This is a time.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I agree. I feel like there have been definitely times in the grand scheme where I've been like, this really sucks and I wish I didn't exist.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot, like there's a huge difference between like the thought and a plan. Like that's like, one of the things in our like psych nursing. The first answer is always, do they actually have a plan to do
right.
it?
Right.
I always thought like that was almost asking someone like, oh, do you have a plan? Like that puts it in their mind to then do it, but it's like really totally the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Which going back to emotional support pet, I think is so useful and like influential, I guess you could say, in those times.
Okay, I had like a bit of a mental breakdown because I went into one of my finals failing a class by like 2%, which is like kind of a lot, especially in nursing classes. If you don't pass the test percentage required, none of your other points count.
Mm-hmm.
So to have any homework points, essay points, anything like that, you have to have a 77% test average.
Yeah.
So I was like having a breakdown and I thought to myself like, okay, since I live by myself, no one would find me. Mm-hmm. It would like take like Charlie to like bark like insane, which he doesn't really bark a lot. So it would like go a while for like something to actually happen. And I was like, that's just like an awful thing to think about. Just not going to think about that anymore.
Okay. So through your suicidal ideation, you feel like your emotional support pet has saved your life, which is kind of like what they're for.
I do like being like very honest. Like I never truly have thought about it. Just
yeah.
I've thought more about like, gosh, life is like so freaking hard all the
this
time.
This is so and, like, overwhelming.
I'm so tired of just like crying so hard and not.
Mm-hmm.
And the results not showing.
Yeah,
so I
for
think
sure.
that if anything, it was just like comforting to have someone there because I'm a person who like if I'm anxious or I'm sad, like as much as I like hate like telling people what I need, I like love to just have like a person like sit by me. They don't even have to say anything. So like there were times Charlie doesn't sleep in my bed, but there are times where I would just like take him out of his crate and have him like lie next to me for like 30 minutes while I could calm down, and then I'd put him back in his crate and then I'd fall asleep in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
An hour and a half because I was so freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah. My therapist says that my cat is for grounding. That can be your thing that you use as like if you are having a moment of disassociation or like something triggered you and your body feels like you're somewhere that you're not or whatnot, like your cat can be or your whatever your animal that you have is your stabilizer into reality. To hold you down.
I can feel him breathe. I can feel his warmth.
It's so sweet. Okay.
Such a sweet guy.
He's such a sweet guy, Charlie. Charlie's a very popular name recently.
I know. I would love if it were something like way cuter. Like when you like I saw on TikTok a dog named Mini Wheat. Like I would love that.
Mini Wheat?
Yeah. Don't
the yuck cereal. I didn't yuck it. I just questioned.
Yeah. You. I don't know.
I like Charlie a lot.
I think he is a Charlie.
Yeah, he is. His little like afro head.
I know that. Well, that's because His body got shaved. It was a very traumatic experience. I was having like a very awful time with school. And then I took him to a groomer, and within 15 minutes of being there, they called me and said that I had to pick him up because he tried to bite them. And I was like,
are you serious?
Yes. And I think that they must have been doing something because I could like shove my whole fist in his mouth and he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So he came out like half shaven and like tufts of fur like coming off of his body. And I then called my mom, literally not able to breathe. I was crying so hard.
Really?
Yeah. And then I had to call another groomer and I was like, so, and I just started crying. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, sweetie.
Like, oh my gosh. Wait, so they just released your dog back to you half shaven?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because apparently he was trying to bite them, which I truly think it's because something they did, because that's just, I mean, even it's like
my child,
people are grabbing at him.
Yeah. Basically, it was a bit traumatizing for you to send
it was
to
a
that
bit
groomer.
Traumatizing, and that is
having an emotional support pet is also traumatizing.
I kind of trained him as a puppy to be like very cuddly. Like my old dog Mac just was not a very cuddly dog. He kind of was very just like.
It's kind of hard to like. Yeah, I feel like it depends on the animal. Like it depends on their personality.
And since as a puppy, he was like. Mac was like Kevin's puppy, like that's like not what Kevin needed him for.
Yeah.
Kevin's brother, for the listeners out there,
for the listeners, that's Shay's brother. Kevin, shout out Kevin.
But from like the minute Charlie came home, we like were constantly like holding him and stuff, and almost every night I will like hold him on my chest and I'll just let him like splay out and he'll fall asleep.
And it's he still like, does that.
Yeah, it's like kind of the cutest thing ever.
That's so like, cute.
Big enough. Where it's like some actual weight. He's like 35 pounds probably. So
yeah, so he's not too big.
He's much shorter than Mac was by probably like a couple inches.
Yeah, my friend has a golden doodle, labradoodle. That's what yours is, right?
I have a labradoodle.
Yeah, hers is a labradoodle too. It's like the white, like very white, but it's so tall. Yeah.
Charlie's oddly long and his legs are short. Like I don't really he's like a weird
but
guy.
He's very cute looking. Like I like that his proportions are like that. Yeah. Speaking of labradoodles, the other day, this is a side quest, but I was walking to the store at like 9 p.m.
Oh my gosh, we saw that. I watched the whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Thank God somebody watched. Everyone's like, what were you talking about? And I was like, okay, I was like very like frazzled because it was like a very, very random situation. But basically the corner store is like right behind my house and there's like an alley
you called it a bodega.
I called it a bodega. I know David was like, you can't call it a bodega. Like you're not in London. It's like I just kept saying bodega. I was like, I'm on the way to my bodega, and suddenly this Labradoodle comes tearing around the corner, and all I hear is this woman yelling like Watson, which is a good name I think for a
phenomenal.
He looked just like Charlie too, but it was like coming running towards me. It was like he knew I was there, but I was like very far away. But he ran up to me, and I was like, in my head I was like, oh, I'm gonna be the hero of this story and I'm going to catch him. No, he was already like turning away as soon as I like he had already come like stopped and turned around by the time I could even like formulate the thought to like grab him. Like he was so hard to grab. He just had the puppy mentality and then was like basically like full grown size, but like lumbering around the corner. Like
either they're a runner or they're not. And it's really hard to like train it out of them. My next door neighbor just told us that their old dog was on like doggy house arrest because he bit his owner after he was bit by a dog, and he was trying to like go after the dog who was biting him, missed and got her hand, and he was like,
and he's on house arrest.
Yeah, but they took him like
dog stuff. I'm like, that is so random. I feel like
so stupid.
There should be laws or no laws, because it's like there's really no need for it.
No, he like needed the dog, like a doggy ankle bracelet.
He just needed like a little hug.
Yeah. Like he literally
when got someone's hit. Acting out, we should ask them what's wrong. Okay, that's so funny. But yeah, going back to the Watson story, she did end up cornering him and I did put the collar on the dog. She was like, thank you so much. And I was like, don't worry, I walk dogs for a living.
Don't worry.
This is my passion.
I'm a rover
employee.
Specialist.
I am a Rover employee and I specialize. I majored in catching dogs and putting their collars on them. Even though I applied to walk the mascot Dubs at UW and they told me no.
Are you for real?
Yeah. I was like, look, I walk dogs. And they were like, we need more experience. I was like, okay, what more experience do you need? Anyway, my last question that I have is, what would you tell someone who is looking to adopt an emotional support pet, specifically a dog?
I think the main thing that, like, if they're getting them as a puppy, I would say, like really know what you're getting yourself into. Because it's more of a commitment than I think I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And it's a lifelong commitment. Like, I've seen so many stories about people who, like, got puppies during the pandemic who are now, like, going into the pound.
It's like a whole other epidemic.
Right, because they just, like, didn't realize, and they just, like, wanted something for the time being. But, I mean, for me, it's been so incredibly worth it. And I think, like, if you're worried about it at school or whatever, just, like, I had to reach out to, like, the student support services or whatever. I think it's, if you're questioning it, look into it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's actually very accessible if you're willing to go the extra mile and go to the right people and, like, get your questions answered and, yeah, like, get your needs met, because I really do think there are so many benefits to having them.
But at the same time, like, don't just get one so you can, like, have a dog with you.
Right. Are emotional support pets allowed to come with you to, like, the supermarket and, like, you know, like, is that a thing?
No, because they're not.
It's not a service animal.
Right. So, like, don't just, like, get one because you
want a service animal.
I feel like that's when people are like, oh my God, like, my OCD. And they're like, just like, because they didn't, like, clean their room, when, like, that's, like, not actually the real thing. So I feel like it kind of, like, diminishes. Yeah, like,
self-diagnosing.
For it. And then, like, they're no longer, like, emotional support animals are no longer going to be a thing because people ruined it.
Period.
People.
I hate people that work at the bank. Me.
I work at the bank. So if you guys weren't aware, Beth was in choir for 4 years and was in our senior year musical.
Isn't that crazy? People don't really know that I was a theater kid, but it kind of makes sense when I tell them. Yeah. I like to, like, just like the homeschool jokes, I like to make fun of myself and be like, when I was, this is a part of my personality.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know this about me? Oh yeah. I was in homeschool until eighth grade.
Yes. Well, in terms of the drama kid part of me, like, I was going to do drama when I got to UW, but it's a lifestyle. It is something that you commit to.
Right. Like, unless you're willing to be a newsie for the rest of your days.
If you can do a tilt, then you can be a theater kid, but I can't. I wish I left having rhythm, because I think that's, like, the hardest part, is that I can't do a single TikTok dance.
That was the only part that I could do. That's literally the only reason why I stayed in choir.
Okay, well, that wraps up the conversation on emotional support pets. Shay, thank you so much for all of your valuable insight. Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
No, I wish I could be like, come look at my podcast. Guys, please
send vibes
to the NCLEX gods that I pass it on the first try.
Yeah, dude, you're going to be so good.
That's all for today, folks. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Quarantine. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace and love.